Welcome to another exciting episode of Coffee with Source. I am joined with, by my very special guest, Chris, who is an international psychic medium and best-selling author. Welcome to Coffee with Source.
Great being here. Thanks for having me.
I can't speak apparently, so I'm all the talking. I'm just starstruck.
Oh, please.
This is by far my favorite topic. And if you would have asked me 2 years ago if I would have a podcast and I'd be interviewing psychic mediums, I would have laughed so hard and thought, you're absolutely nuts. And now I can't get enough of it. I'm so curious. So please share with our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. Well, what I do is fundamentally help people reconnect with their family members who aren't here in the physical anymore. Essentially, it's really helping people stay in contact and open their reality to something that they didn't really know before, because everybody still thinks that everything that they're aware of, or everything that they're, you know, their reality is what they touch, what they feel, what they see, when in fact, the reality is so much greater than what we perceive every day. The reality is such that, you know, what we live every day is an illusion, and the true reality is that consciousness and energy exists forever. So that's really how I try to help people expand their concept. Now, I know you probably need a couple more cups of coffee to, you know, digest that.
Just hang on a second. I need an IV. But what I'm curious about, because I love all of that and I believe all of that, did you wake up one morning and you were like, you know what, I can be a plumber, I can be a carpenter, no, I'm going to be a psychic medium?
Not so much that I woke up one morning and started thinking doing that. In fact, it was kind of amusing. I came from a background of finance, so I'm the last person you'd think I would be like here doing what I'm doing. Oh, I mean, I used to be on Wall Street as a research analyst. You know, totally materialistic, agnostic. I mean, I was the highest skeptic you could have imagined.
Really?
Oh, totally. Yeah, I mean, I'm not from the Hindu Kush here. I'm just your average Joe Blow. And so it's, you know, I was doing all these, you know, finance for all these many years, and it was getting to me, and I was like getting totally stressed out, and it was taking out my family, taking out on everybody else. So I had to find a way to deal with it. So I eventually turned to something that people kept on saying I should be doing. They said, oh yeah, you should meditate, you should do this. I'm like, oh yeah, whatever. So I started, you know, Googling it and coming up with all these silly meditations, you know, people with like, you know, silly turbans and crystal balls. And to me, I found it to be rather laughable. But eventually I stumbled onto one that really resonated with me. It didn't have an agenda. It wasn't pushing anything. It just really was very relaxing and calming. And I was like, okay, very neutral here. Yeah. Well, it was so calming and so neutral that I would do this for like 10 minutes every day before I'd go to work. So I'm like, this is great. Problem is, I got hooked on it. And I'd do this every day for about 12 months. And at the end of that 12-month period, that's when something kind of unique happened. And I'm looking back on it, 2020 hindsight, I should have realized what was actually happening. But at the end of that 12-month period, I'm in my man cave, because every guy's got to have his man cave, right? I'm in my man cave getting deep into a meditation, and all of a sudden I start having what I guess you'd term as sort of like an out-of-body experience, where I'm kind of out of my body, and I'm out in some, I don't know if I was in the universe, I was out somewhere, quote unquote, out there, right? And in my mind's eye, I saw four spirit people, two on my left, two on my right, and the one all the way to the right was bigger than the rest and shot this huge beam of energy right through my chest, out through my back, and I could feel it physically. I'm like, okay, I know I'm not asleep. Something weird is going on here. But as he was shooting, yeah, totally. That's what happened. It's like he shoots this energy, and I'm like,
You almost want to cry.
Yeah. And I'm feeling like filled with energy, but then it's like, it like shot up a notch to the point where, the word love in the human language was like the tip of the iceberg. This was the other 99% that I never knew before. Total acceptance, total unconditional love, total perfection. Words can't even put
judgment.
Everything. And then eventually I started feeling I was perfect, which of course I couldn't accept. I'm like, wait a second, I'm human, I can't be perfect. And I started feeling I was everywhere, nowhere at the same time. And there was a total connection, and it was a unique singularity. And that's when all everything that happened as a kid, because I had a whole bunch of things happen as a kid, that's when the door reopened.
And what'd you do? Did you slam it back and you're like, no, going well, back to no. work, man?
No, that was
money
when
things to do.
Yeah, and right. Like, that's when I was like, my brain was spinning. I had to sit in my chair for, probably 10, 15 minutes, figure out what had just happened, ran to my desk, wrote everything down. And over the next, several days, all of a sudden I started hearing the same kind of voices I heard when I was a kid, started feeling energy the same way I did, like when I was a kid, started feeling this, like this tingling, effervescent energy blanket. I could start feeling, people, energy, presences around me, like I did when I was a kid. But when I was a kid, I thought it was just like monsters and, spooky things. Yes. And I totally shut it down. So for, a whole bunch of decades, I said, that's just, child's play. But the door reopened, and all of a sudden I realized this is bigger than me. This is something that's really happening. I got to go find out what it is, explore it. And that's, when I started taking a whole bunch of mentorships with mediumships to learn what it was. And over the series of years, great mentors basically honed everything I had and said, this is what's happening, and we're going to make it work for you. So
are you married at this point? Like, are you?
Yes, I'm married. At that point,
upstairs, and you're like, babe, guess what?
Yeah, exactly. My wife at the time was not particularly sure what was happening to me.
Flash midlife crisis, spiritual awakening.
Yeah, totally. In fact, when this started happening, I started thinking I was going crazy. I'm like, wait a second, this isn't supposed to be happening. Yeah. So she's,
and that's why this podcast exists, because that's what it feels like.
Yeah, it totally feels like you're going crazy. It totally feels like something is not supposed to be happening, but it is. And I started realizing that I'm more in contact with energy that exists, because quantum physics has shown us that everything in existence is energy. It's just existing at a different vibration rate. So we here in the material are at a low vibration rate. We're kind of like the ice cubes in our physics class, right? But spirit is at an extremely high vibration rate. They're like that gas in the physics class. We're just at two different vibration rates. And so we can't detect them because we're not physical. So we don't have any instruments to detect them. We don't have any non-physical instruments to detect that. So,
yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. So you tell the wife, she's looking at you like maybe you're having a burnout. Yep. You decide to stay curious. You're not closing that door again.
No.
You get some mentors. How did you know what types of mentors to look for? Did you?
It's a good question. When I first started exploring, I had heard the word medium, but I always thought, oh, that's just, either an incredibly gifted person or maybe they're fraudulent or whatever. So I just tried to find some mentors that were geographically nearby. This is all pre the COVID thing going on, so I'm going geographically desirable, as well as the fact that I started realizing I can go abroad. I can start doing things internationally, because Zoom was still a big thing. And so not only did I do it locally, but I also did it internationally, and a lot of international mediums were coming to my area, because I'm also a member of the Journey Within Church, which is one of the U.S.'s great spiritualist churches, a member of the SNU. And so a lot of major tutors from Arthur Findlay College in England come to the US, come there, they'll hold classes, they'll hold mentorships, and then you start to link up with one of them. You know, I've been working with Tony Sockwell probably for, you know, many years. He's been one of my top mentors. James Van Praagh, you know, Colin Bates, Janet Nohavik, you know, I stand on the shoulders of giants, basically. They're the biggest.
Oh, I love that. So for our listeners who are curious and they're thinking, okay, but you have this meditation, you unleash the beast, you unlock the door. Why would you need a mentor if you're aware that you already have this, you know, sensitivity to energies and you can tap in to what's right beyond the veil?
Somebody's got to guide you. Somebody's got to, you know, take you by the hand and walk you down the path. You know, anybody can walk down the path. Anybody can be aware of something, but you've got to have somebody guide you. It's like anybody can walk up the Mount Everest, but you need the Sherpas to guide you up to the top of the mountain. You need somebody.
You know that I watched 14 Peaks last night, and that's why you're using that analogy. I think you're looking through my mind.
It must be. I love that. I love 14 Peaks. It's great.
In the last, you know, two sentences, you've mentioned two things that are, it's just mind blowing. But what about our spirit guides, these four dudes that you saw? Couldn't they be the ones that teach you and mentor you? Why do you have to have a physical mentor?
In fact, the best teachers we will ever have are from our spirit team. The problem is that we in the physical are much more aware of our physicalness. Our physicalness, exactly. So it's much more readily available, especially in the beginning.
Yeah.
To interact.
I kind of see it in a way that, you know, our spirit, I call them my spirit entourage, my spirit team. If I ask a question, because they, from a broader perspective, know exactly what it is that I need to be, you know, sort of getting curious about, but, and they laugh at this, but I always say they leave a trail of breadcrumbs.
Oh, totally.
Because there's only so much they can do from, you know, up there, because we miss a lot of the signs because we fluctuate, our energy levels fluctuate. But if you follow the breadcrumbs, that'll lead you to a human that's just, you know, exactly where you need them to be.
That was what they did between the time when I was, 6-7 years old to the time that I had my reawakening. They had been dropping breadcrumbs, for decades, having me read these books that normally I never would have read. But I read everything from, you know, near-death experiences to automatic writings to
Conversation with God.
Everything. I mean, you name it. I read for decades books that were just fascinating for me. And I was like so pulled to all these topics. I didn't know why, but I was completely fascinated by them. And
it's a lesson prophecy. I remember reading that and going like, oh, you know, there's something there. How his first book was classified a fiction. I was like, this is not fiction.
Right.
You know, this has to be real. So I totally
And what started happening was that, you know, I'd see books that would pull me in and tweak at something inside me. Like what was it? The Light Between Us was one of the books that really got me. And there were so many other books where you'd have scientists start to describe the quantum physics aspect of it and the science behind it all. And you start to piece all these different puzzle pieces together, and it creates this beautiful collage of, aha, that makes sense.
Yeah, I love that. So you're working with your mentors. Are you still on Wall Street, or have you decided that you're going to immerse yourself? How are you fine-tuning skills?
There was definitely a period where, you know, I had to kind of balance or you know, choose who got to know what was going on, because in the beginning it started out that I wasn't going to tell anybody. I was, in my mind, I was still kind of in the mediumship closet, right? I wasn't coming out, because I'm like, what are they going to think of me? Because I still was very much in the camp of, oh, I've got to be, you know, an oddball. I'm the odd person here. Yeah. But it wasn't until I would have these one-on-ones with people at work, and I could just kind of feel what's going on in their soul. I could feel what they're going through. It went beyond just empathy, but it was like a complete clairsentient ability to know what's going on with them.
Things out and catch yourself and their reaction going.
I would start to talk and I'd have to like mid sentence, just clam up and go, all right, well, sorry. Step back.
Yeah. You don't want them to think you're peering through their soul.
Yeah. So it, and there'd be times where I'd be like one-on-one in their office, door closed, and, you know, maybe somebody's parent had just passed on and I'd kind of lock in on that and I'd start talking about that in a very ethereal way, trying not to, you know, violate their privacy, but just try to kind of emphasize the love aspect of it. And
Gary, you're not alone. Your grandmother's right there.
Yeah. Hey, she's standing right beside you.
Right beside you. She says you had too much coffee today.
Yeah, right. But that's the one thing you can't do. You can't go up to somebody and say, hey, you know, we're here in the grocery store. And oh, by the way, your grandmother's got a message for you. No, you can't do that.
Yeah. But do you ever get like, you know, flicked upside the head by spirit and they're like, you got to say something? It's going to feel uncomfortable, but this person needs to hear this.
No, I've never been flicked in the head to say something. I've been flicked in the head about things that I should be doing myself. Very much in terms of, you know, I've gotten like my spirit team has given me like the spirit slap down. like they'll say you've got to you know be lighter on yourself, or you've got to allow yourself to do this, that, or the other thing, or you know don't be so hard on yourself, or
surrender the need to control the outcome.
Yeah.
Surrendering the need to control the outcome.
Exactly. Yeah, and or slow down. You know, many times they'll say, listen, this is a journey, a marathon. This is not a sprint. You keep on trying to develop faster than, you know, you want. And it's going to be a slow snail's pace. Slow down and smell the roses. That's the way you develop. It's not a run. It's not a sprint.
I love that. So as you're sitting here with me today, are you able to turn it off or turn it on? Like you and I don't know each other. We've never had a conversation before, but we're sitting here, we're talking. Do you feel something now that you're kind of like, you have to put it in a different compartment? Or are you able to have a conversation with, you know, with me or with others just fluidly and talk about it? Or is it always there?
It's the training is that you're always supposed to turn it on or off. You're never supposed to just let it be free flow, because if you let it be free flow, then you're not living your material life. Mm. We're here to live our material life, to have the experiences, to learn the lessons. So we've got to be grounded. And if you're always on, then you're never going to be grounded. You're never going to live your material life for the whole reason you came to be incarnate. So you've got to be able to turn it on and off. And there's some well-known mediums who go around and it's always on. And they haven't been trained to say it's supposed to be on and off. And spirit will never interfere with our free will. And that's the universal law, is that, you know, when we don't want them around anymore, we just say, thank you very much, I'm closing shop. Imagine the sign getting turned off. Yeah. Imagine the light bulb getting shut down. Yeah. And say, I don't want to connect with you anymore. Thank you very much. We'll connect later on. And that's the way it works. And so then you have to then turn it back on to say, I'm open again. Let's communicate. Let's, reunite. And so it's an on and off switch, if you want to think of it that way.
So when you meet someone and they book, I'm assuming you do one-on-ones.
Yeah.
So they book a reading with you. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Book a reading. Currently it's on Zoom. So
you and I have an appointment in an hour. We'll say, what are you doing in the hour before, 30 minutes before, to make sure that your channel is open, that you're grounded?
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll sit in the power. I'll sit in the power of my own spirit. I'll sit in the power of my team. I'll invite my team to work with me, and then invite, you know, their loved ones to, you know, either come close or work with the team. Because the team is really sort of like the intermediary. It's very much of a traffic cop, if you will. And what I'll do is within that 15 to 30 minute time frame, I'll just get myself ready and I'll just open up. And it's like I'll imagine my entire spirit expanding to the point where I'm at one with source energy. Oh, and it's that singularity, it's that unity consciousness where source is everywhere. I'm in source, I'm at one with source. And it's I just like absorb that energy. And that's the power, that's the spiritual power that suddenly is within. And I'm connected to that power.
And so what does a typical reading feel like? The person enters the room, you've connected, you're at one with source. Does it happen sometimes that that person is not ready to connect with the person that they want? Like if I come to you and I say, Chris, I absolutely want to connect with my grandmother. I have a bone to pick with her. I need to know this. I need to speak with her. And I show up and I meet you and she's like, not today. She's not ready to hear it, but here's her end. Does that ever happen?
That happens more frequently than you would imagine, because a lot of people want to hear from one particular person, and spirit comes in with their own agenda. They're going to be coming in with their own people, the people that they intend to connect with the recipient for a specific reason, because they want to give a specific message. They're coming for a specific reason, whether that's a reason from the spirit perspective of they want to, let's say they want to give an apology, or they have a message they want to deliver, or they want to have a chance to say, I love you, when they didn't have a chance to say, I love you when they were in the physical. Now that one person who is the recipient in the, you know, in the sitter may want to hear from somebody different. Let's say the mother passes and they want to hear from the mother, but the dad's also in spirit and the dad's got a bigger need. So it's always the need, and where the need is greatest is where the need will be met. Maybe the need is with the sitter, maybe the need is with the spirit, but the spirit ultimately sends you that. They're the ones that create the agenda, set the agenda. They drive the bus, basically.
We just follow the breadcrumbs.
Totally. We're here. And in fact, a lot of people say, you know, I really felt compelled to schedule this sitting, this reading, this, you know, this date, this with you. And I'm like, well, that's great. Wasn't me. Wasn't you. Yeah. It was them.
What about women who miscarry? Do they ever come to see you, or is it possible to connect with a soul that wasn't born into this physical reality?
It's possible. It doesn't happen very often, because typically what you're going to get is a person who has already incarnated, and they're the ones who are going to come through. I think I might have had maybe one, if memory serves. I want to say maybe one, but it doesn't happen often.
Do people, can someone come to see you if they just want to connect with their higher selves or their spirit team and they don't know how? They don't necessarily want a reading. They're just like, help me connect with who's around me.
Yeah, actually, what I also do is I also allow people to sit for a spiritual assessment. And what I'll do is I'll basically start getting information about them. And about where the spirit world is working on them. And I'll be mostly getting that from my guides. And you know, my team will start, you know, giving me information about where the rest of the spirit world, i.e. especially their guides, are trying to work on them. Where are they on their spiritual path? Are they fulfilling their soul contract? What's the ultimate design that they're trying to fulfill while they're here in the material? And I'll also get very distinct impressions about what is in their aura based on different colors. And that really signifies certain characteristics and aspects of their being? Are they passionate about certain causes? Are they feeling incredibly empathetic that they want to help the world? And there are certain deep drivers that are within them. And the spirit world is often trying to work with that and trying to, you know, encourage them to go down a certain road to fulfill that path, as it were. So we'll help them do that.
And what's the, I mean, I know in your title it's psychic medium, but there's a lot of people that just refer to themselves as psychics. Mm-hmm. And you have mediums, then you have intuitive mediums. Mm-hmm. So what is the difference between someone who just says they're psychic? You know, I always picture the crystal ball and the calling the 1-800 number, and it's like, tell me if I'm going to get back together with my ex. Is it possible? Is there an aspect that's what you do, where if I come see you and I say, you know, if I'd love to connect with Granny, if that's possible, but tell me, is my business going to take off in the next year? Is that something you do as well?
Well, the difference between a psychic and a medium, let's start with that. A medium is basically a psychic who is also able to connect with the spiritual. The equation, if you want to look at it, is psychic plus spiritual power equals medium. Mm-hmm. So that's where you get the concept of all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are mediums. Because if you're a medium, you're able to communicate and receive information from spirits that are discarnate, whereas a psychic is able to receive information from spirits that are incarnate, us. So if you want to look at it from a materialist perspective, a psychic gets energy from you here in the physical plane, your aura. That's where all your information is. Whereas a medium receives information from discarnate souls, discarnate beings.
That's so cool.
So that's kind of the difference.
Is it possible in a mediumship sitting to connect with, I told you I was going to pick your brain, but can I come to you and be like, nah, you know, I don't really want to connect with my spirit, you know, not my spirit team, but with deceased loved ones. I want to have a word with Jesus or Buddha. Can you connect me with them?
I couldn't, and I don't think many people could.
Why is that?
Because the level where these individuals reside is so high that it would be certainly near impossible for me anyway, and virtually impossible for anybody to be able to communicate on such a high level, because they're in what's referred to as the celestial kingdom, the celestial planes. Within the spirit world, you've got your seven primary planes or spheres, right? And above those seven spheres, you have then the celestial kingdom, where you've got a whole nother unlimited series of planes or spheres where individuals, spirits, souls, energies are at one with source. But it keeps on getting higher and higher and higher and higher. So the higher your frequency / vibration rate, the higher you're going to rise within the entire spiritual realm, right? Whether it's going to be within that seven spheres or anywhere in that celestial kingdom. And it's difficult enough to communicate with anybody within those seven spheres. Once you get beyond the seven spheres, it becomes increasingly difficult to have a close communication that we receive.
Frequency is just too high.
The frequency typically is too high unless they come down to us. Now, there have been a lot of people who have received communications from them. J.D. Paget, for example, famous person who received automatic writings from many people in the celestial kingdoms. Started out, he was a lawyer in the 19-teens in Washington, D.C. His wife passed away. He was grief-stricken. He went to seances to try to hear from her. she started coming through in automatic writings with him. He wasn't somebody who he ever thought could do this, but she started coming through. And like, she's saying, "Hey, darling, I'm still here. And here's what's going on in my life." And, you know, she's at level, whatever, 2, 3, right? And she's like, and describing everything that's going on in her life. And the, you know, the writings of, you know, the, what's called the Paget Messages. It's a series of 6 of different volumes of all of his writings, from the time that his wife died to the time that he died. So I think it's the course of like maybe what, 8-10 years, something like that. And in these writings, a lot of people who are in the celestial kingdom start coming through because they have their own messages they want to get through to humanity. And Jesus comes through, and many of the saints come through, and many of these highly evolved people wind up coming through. So they have come through, and they've come through with other people. I think also the what was one of the there was a professor in of Columbia back in the 60s. She was in communication with Jesus. There have been other people who've come through, but it doesn't happen very often. And in some cases, it's not real.
Yeah. Maybe he just has to choose you.
Yeah, well, he hasn't chosen me yet.
I thought, wouldn't that be cool? Like, just to say, okay, Buddha, you and I are going to have a chat. I want to talk about this whole reincarnation thing.
I'd love it.
The level.
And here's the other thing. For all I know, I mean, this is, again, my skeptical self is never going to leave, and perhaps that's a good thing. But one thing I do know is that it's very possible, you know, Jesus may have been speaking to me, but I'm just so skeptical that I can't accept it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of normal, right?
Yeah, that you're just kind of like, nice trick, buddy.
It's because the problem is, I think we all want to believe it. The question becomes, where does belief turn into reality? I don't know where that line.
Yeah, I'm really like that is. When I hear, and I love past life regressions and all of that, but you know, when I hear that, oh, you know, I was President Kennedy in a past life. And I'm always like, maybe you were, maybe you weren't, maybe you were. Like, I want to believe wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And how cool if it's true, you know?
But you're more just often than not, it probably would not be true. Odds are, I mean, and the only way you know that it's true is if they're able to bring through information that they would never know by themselves.
Yeah.
That's unequivocally true. I mean, there have been, I think Dolores Cannon is a famous,
that's exactly what I've been thinking about. I was thinking about Jesus in the Essenes. That's how I was
exactly,
like,
exactly. Totally. Yeah. That's what I was thinking around too. It's like, you know, she'll bring through people that have no knowledge of this stuff, and they come back as an intergression where they're the cousin, or they're the person next to it, but they would have no way of knowing otherwise.
Yeah. I love it. So what makes you an international psychic medium? What does that mean?
Well, it's international in the fact that now I've been, you know, dealing with clients from around the world, whether it's, you know, across the US, England, Australia, India, New Zealand. I mean, Zoom has been, you know, a boon to be able to communicate with anybody in the world in an instant. Nobody has to leave their room. Nobody can leave their room, right?
Nobody can leave their room. We're back at it. But what does your life look like now versus, I'm not sure how long you've been doing this, but 10 years ago?
Versus 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I was, you know, still in, you know, dealing with finance, and still trying to, you know, I think that was really kind of where the cusp was, you know, starting to move. The door had already opened, but you know, 10 years ago, it was like the, how do you describe it? Moving from one side of the veil to the next. I was still kind of like
bridging the gap.
Thank you. That's the phrase I was looking for, bridging the gap. I'm kind of doing this. I'm like, I'm not.
I'm having a coffee.
Hey, you know, you're psychic. You didn't even know it, right?
You know what? I think we all are.
Yo, absolutely. That's a great point. Because one thing I want to, before I forget it, and I know I will, is that everybody has these abilities. They're all lying dormant beneath the surface.
And everybody's, I thought that was bullshit, but you're the fourth, you know, medium, psychic medium, intuitive medium, and they all say the same.
Yeah, mediums are made.
You all say the same, yeah. And whether it's on and you know, I'm not sure if you know Bernadette Gold, but I had her on the show, and she said most people have two primary gifts.
Yeah, about that, two or three.
And it was about tapping into those, and she says, you know, sometimes it's clairsentience, claircognition, but there's always two primary ones, but everyone has those. We just, like you did as a kid, you know, you suppress them, you shut it down. You don't want to be the weird kid, or, you know, you're talking to spirit in the corner when you're little and somebody comes in and says, you know, who are you talking to? That's so stupid. Is that your imaginary friend? He's not there. Right. You kind of shut it down.
Hey, totally. And also look at it from the perspective of when people say mediumship runs in their family, why is that? Mediumship runs in the family, not necessarily because of DNA, but because of cultural perspective. Openness. If a family, exactly, they're all open, they're all encouraging it. If, let's say, parents see a child speaking to somebody that they can't physically see, and they encourage it, and they start opening it and accepting it, then the child doesn't want to shut it down. The child has no reason to shut it down because he feels encouraged to open this up. Whereas most parents are like, no, you know, we got to stay in the mainstream. We got to be quote unquote normal. Not a good thing to do.
If you're extremely religious, then, you know, you're thought to be possessed or something. And the next thing you know, the priest is over and there's an exorcism going on.
Right. So it all becomes, you know, what is it that the parents or the family perceive as quote unquote normal to them? Are they encouraging or are they going to shut it down? And those families that are more open and encouraging are going to be the families that are always going to have the same perception from generation to generation. So that's why I say, oh, yeah, grandma was a psychic, or oh, grandma was a medium. Well, why? Because it was a perception, it was a belief, it was an allowance. They were allowing the abilities to bubble up to the surface as opposed to staying suppressed.
So what's your favorite part about having re-tapped into this and now being, you know, standing in your own truth and having bridged the gap and being a psychic medium? How does that feel?
It feels beautiful. I think you hit the nail on the head. I'm standing in my own truth, and I'm standing in the truth of source energy and love. What the most incredible feeling that I get from every reading and from just connecting with my own team is this massive sensation of love that comes from the spirit world and their love for us and their love and healing that's always coming down to us. And they're always trying to help us because, as I had mentioned before, we're here in the incarnate to go through challenging times because that's the only way we learn. And spirit comes through to try to help us understand that what we're experiencing is temporary. We're full of love. There's more love than we know. And it's that entire feeling that we're able to connect with that greater love that's without, but we've also got to love ourselves. Yeah.
Do you believe that we choose our lives and our lessons?
Absolutely. We all do. And here's why. Because we all, when we're in the in-between lives, we're in our spirit physicality or non-physicality, as it were, what we're doing is we're then trying to set up different lessons that we can have as we get ready to go into a new stage of being. Before we come down, we set up our soul plan, we have our advisors, we have our spirit team. We say, these are the lessons I want to learn. And because we can't really learn as many lessons as quickly as we can when we're in the spirit world, but we will learn a lot of lessons very quickly when we're in the physical world.
So those who have chaotic lives and a lot of obstacles and challenges and just like a lot of heavy stuff, do you think that they're more advanced souls, or are they baby souls who just want to get a lot of shit in?
That's a great question. Definitely, the more challenges a person experiences, they're the ones that are learning at a faster rate than others. There is an argument that is made that those people who are undergoing greater challenges actually are experiencing greater lessons, and thus are higher souls, higher beings, because they're able to.
Take comfort in that, listeners, viewers. You know what? If you're going through a mixed bag of bullshit and you're just like, when is it going to stop? Take comfort in knowing that you chose this. There's no judgment.
Yeah, totally.
And that you're just a more evolved being.
Yeah. And what's really interesting is that when we experience incredible challenges in our life, know that every challenge is a lesson. Think of it from the perspective of trying to teach a five-year-old not to touch a stove. You can tell a five-year-old not to touch a stove 20 times. Do they listen? No. It's not until they touch the hot stove that they will experience the incredible pain, and they will never, ever touch it again. It's like us. The only way we learn is through experience.
So true. But how can spirit intervene? Like, if I've just deviated off course so much that it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so, you know, untapped from source, and I'm just in this darkness and I am deviating. I know there's a thing of free will, but can they just, like, you know, trip us up a little? So how can they help? Or do they just let us do the thing?
They will always nudge us. They will always urge us. They will always try to push us in the right direction. But like I had mentioned before, spirit cannot interfere with our free will. So long as we have the free will and the desire to do X, Y, or Z, we're going to do it. They'll drop hints. They'll drop those breadcrumbs. They'll nudge us. They'll whisper in the back of our head. You know, all those times you felt that really subtle thought in the back of your head, I should be doing this. And then we'd totally go on and ignore it. It's like we go outside and we're like, gee, you know, I think I should bring my umbrella. Nah, screw that. We just go outside and we get totally wet. It's the same idea. It's the same idea.
Yeah.
Spirit keeps on doing that. It's basically, we're hearing it all the time, but we think it's just our imagination, and we ignore it and we don't do it. We don't follow up.
Yeah, we ignore our inner GPS, our inner guidance system.
Totally.
So what is the book about? What compelled you to write a book, and why should we go get it?
Yeah, the book was something that I felt compelled to write because it really explains what spirit is all about, and that spirit is truly around us all the time. One of the reasons that it became such a passion for me was something that I started feeling: they're all here, they're all around us. And oh my gosh, what if everybody just knew the reality and felt them and realized that all of our family members don't just go poof into the dust. They're always alive and they're always still here. Think of them not off in the hinterlands of like some far off universe. Just think of them off in like the Caribbean having a margarita, but somebody cut the undersea cable so you can't speak with them anymore.
Yeah.
But they're having a jolly old time drinking that margarita, and you better know sure they're enjoying it.
Yeah. And it brings, I find, a more comedic aspect to life once you get to that place where you know it.
Yeah,
you know, there's more joy, there's more lightheartedness. You don't think of them and feel sad,
right? If you anything,
kind of like
exactly.
And I'll play people with it sometimes. You know, I'll sit there, because I read shit all the time, and I'm curious. And I'll sit there on my bed, and I'll sage the house, and I get all ready, and I'm like, grandmother, you shall appear. I'm ready to see you. And I can hear the chuckle of like, yeah. You shit your pants. I am not going to appear. That's not something we're going to do. And the more you try to will me to appear, I'm not going to appear. I'm here. Right. Get over yourself. And there's that comedic aspect of, I just know it's that unconditional love that I feel. But you play with it. You don't feel so lost and abandoned.
Right. And that's the other thing. That was one of the reasons why the subtitle of the book was Gain Comfort and Healing from Your Loved Ones in the Afterlife, because they do come with love and they always are with you and they're always giving you love and they're trying to bring their love and they're trying to bring their healing and they're trying to bring you the comfort that they see you experiencing this incredible pain. And they're like, I want to help you. Yeah. It's not like they're bye, see ya. Yeah. Don't want to be you. It's like they're here and they're it's like,
but they imagine... also see it. I kind of see like a drone. So you're stuck in your pile of horseshit and you're going, oh my God, my life is over. And they're like, well, if she can just take one more step or two more steps, beautiful, no more horse doo-doo. And it's just, you know, running around the meadow forever because they have that broader perspective.
They totally do. They can see and experience what we're undergoing. They know what we're doing. The number of times I've been in a reading where the communicator comes through and has shown me a vivid scene of the person, the sitter, like in a garage, just bawling their eyes out, hiding from their family. Like, for example, there was this couple that came through and the daughter was in spirit and the parents were in the reading. You know, the mother totally believed. And when we're in the reading, she's just completely, you know, sobbing, but full of knowledge that her daughter is here. And you could see the father did not want to express any emotion, just was thinking he didn't believe, this is not real, but you could see him just ready to pop. And the daughter, when she's communicating with me, then shows me this scene of the father in the garage, hiding from the family, just bawling his eyes out constantly. And the daughter was always there watching her father cry his eyes out. And she starts to describe this whole scene in my mind. And I start mentioning the scene to the father, and the father just loses it. Because that's when he realized his daughter had been there the entire time. And he realized, oh my God, this is real. And that's when he just like broke. I was like, wow, if that's not love, the daughter saying, I'm here, Dad. I've always been here for you.
And that's the healing power of mediumship.
That's the love. That's the healing. And that's what comes through every time. I mean, the love and healing just, it's like residual healing for me. It is like so beautiful every single time. I'm just like, I'm brought to tears. It's like, wow, this is amazing.
I love it. I want to do what you do. That sounds fun.
Yeah, totally.
It sounds fun.
If I could do it 24/7, 365, I would, but I probably wouldn't get any sleep.
You probably wouldn't. Tell our listeners where they can get a hold of you. If they want to know more, they want to get your book, they want to have a conversation with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, sure. If they want to look more information about me, they can look at my website, which is www.montclairmedium.com. Or if they want to drop me an email, they can do it at chris@montclairmedium.com. Probably two best ways they can do that. And they can also get information on the book there as well, and all kinds of good stuff.
I'm so grateful for our conversation.
Well,
so many
more
questions. I feel like this.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, this isn't the last time we'll see each other, but thank you. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
You're saying it's love enough. It. You're exhausting him. And I'm like, just one more. Can they see us in the shower too? Like, yeah.
They probably could. I don't know if they would want to.
I was sharing that story with a guest who's an intuitive medium. And I said, I meditate best in the bathtub. And she was like, no, they know they do not come in my washroom. And I was like, you can do that. You can set boundaries. And she's like, I do. And I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe I should do that as well.
Well, but, yeah, totally. Remember that on-off switch? You can set your boundaries totally.
Yeah, I love this. Thank you. You made my day.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Love to bring spirit to the world.
So for all of you who are listening and intrigued, please head over to Chris's website, send him an email, and see how he can help you heal through mediumship, or even if you're just curious, he's a great guy. Go check it out.